This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Has just come in, is nodding, so we might
ask him
introduce him, yeah, and then ask him.
So we've got Peter Kalos in the studio with us. Peter is, there's a myriad of things that Peter, we call Peter, actor, teacher, whole bunch of things, Peter, but you're here, well, to talk a little bit about yourself firstly, but then also about the Actors Lab, which you're starting,
Well, it's got it running.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, but yeah, welcome to the show, Peter.
Thank you. Acting and acting school is the worst topic.
Now, you were nodding away with when we were talking about Sidney Poitier. What's your view on him?
Absolutely loved those two films you mentioned. Gritty, just perfect. Mm. Beautiful, beautiful human being from what we've read, what he's done. And to carry that back then as a black actor.
Yep.
To get the role and to do it justice. Yep. Cooler than cool.
Yeah, and I think it would only happen in England back then as well, which was really edgy, and they were, we all know what the English teenagers were like back in the early 60s, and they were rebelling, they'd just come out of a war, and they were doing it tough, those kids. It was real in a way.
But they were open to him.
Yeah, and it was great. Now, because you have a bit of a history with England, not England, sorry, with overseas, and I'm talking about LA in particular. Why did you go over there?
Basically, I was born here in Melbourne.
Yep.
And I left because I was going to school, and I always knew I wanted to do, I was always involved with theatre. And I got into uni, and I told my parents, I'm not going to go. I'm doing it because there's nothing else. But I was still, I remember my dad said, do you want to go to soccer, play with your cousins? And I said, no, I want to go to theater.
Now, hold on. Your surname is what?
Kalos.
But you're a Greek boy. So tell people that story because I think it's hysterical. Because that's why you need to know the background.
What happened is my full dad's name was Kaloyeratos, which means good old man.
Uh-huh.
And when he got, this is a story I've heard. He changed it long before I was born. He got a job as a bus conductor. And he said,
Where? In Greece. Oh. Yeah.
And he said, it didn't fit. I said, and that's it. And he goes, yeah, I just cut it to Kalos. I said, that's it. He goes, yeah, I just cut it,
Yeah.
And my birth certificate says Peter Kalos on it.
Wow. So it was changed.
He changed before I was born. My sister went back to Greece, changed it back to the normal thing. I'm horrible at paperwork. I said, forget it. I'm changing it. Leave it, I was born with that. I'll die with it. Done, But yeah, so I was here. And someone said, why don't you go study in LA? This was before internet. You couldn't just Google acting classes.
Yep.
And I called. I went to the library. I used to skip school going to the library. The library downtown.
Uh-huh.
I went and I found a book. And sure enough, I called the Lee Strasberg Acting Institute. And I still remember the number 650-7777 because that's the only number you know when you get there.
Right.
You don't have a house, so you tell your parents, call this place. And I went there and I met some amazing teachers. You basically flew there. Really quick, funny story. I get there and the cab driver gave me the Thomas guide. And he goes, take me to school. I said, I just landed. And he said, I don't know where we're going. And I looked at the map, told him where to go. And I was staying at a friend's house. And I get there and there was a note on his door saying, I've gone away because we're at a funeral. And I'm like, where do I stay now? And I rented a hotel. And I ended up staying in West Hollywood, which was right near the Lee Strasberg School. And Stella Adler was there. She was alive at the time. They were both in Hollywood at the time. Okay. And that's started the journey. Ironically, that guy's dad is the father of, the band Eric Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros that got the song Home?
No. Nah.
Alex Ebert, that's his son.
Okay.
So I met Alex when he was like a 3-year-old kid.
Right, okay.
And he went through his journey, and that's LA.
Now, you started hanging out with, you name drop here, some pretty big names.
What happened is, within 8 months of being there, I was running out of money, and someone in my class said, I'm leaving my job. I said, what do you do for a day job? I thought he'd say, I'm in a bar. He goes, I correct scripts. So I met a guy named Barry Primus. Mm. If you find Barry Primus, you go to IMDb. He's done like 200 films. Barry and Robert De Niro were best friends before he was famous. So I got a job with Barry reading scripts for him. Barry gave me a script. I read it. He said, what do you think? And I said, I like it. What don't you like about it? What do you like? I said, this. And then they used to use FedEx back then. Mm. There was no internet. You had to go get the FedEx. So I would read a script.
Yep.
We need it by Wednesday. Wednesday at 5 o'clock, I would put in the FedEx.
And what was that called? Did it have a name?
Script doctor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Or script reader.
Right.
You don't actually fix it.
Uh-huh.
And if
you just suggest.
So if the three of us read a script and scene 9 is no good, and we'll say, hey, scene 9 is no good, they'll pay attention to that.
Uh-huh.
But they pay the writer to fix it.
Right, okay.
We just have those opinions. And they want your opinion.
Yep.
That's important. So,
yeah, like a focus group.
So basically. Because I met him, then I met De Niro. And after a year of calling him Mr. De Niro, Bob just said, listen, you can call me Bob. We're friends now. And you go, okay, great. And then you go on the film sets. And because you know Bob, you're in the inner circle right away.
Uh-huh.
You go, who are you with? And you're Barry and Bob. Okay, just go. You don't need nothing. And that, I thought, wow, how privileged this is. I'm in the eye of the storm, you know.
And you see, that wouldn't happen anymore, Peter, would it? No. You know, like, you there would be so many security people.
Very tough before COVID, definitely not after COVID, right? But it wouldn't happen. It wouldn't happen. And it happened quite easily back then because of Barry. You meet Bob, then you meet Al Pacino, and then you meet all these other people, and Bette Midler and De Niro are best friends. I didn't know that. And, you know, then you go to Vegas and Bette said, oh, do you want tickets to my show? And you go, yeah, why not? You know, so that culture. But one thing I do, it took a while to understand this. After a while, when you realize, hey, they're not famous people, they're actually artists working really hard.
Yep.
And when you see that, then you see the artist, not the fame person.
Yep.
There's many times where I would see the fame kick in as we go outside. You go, oh my God, I get now.
Yep.
This is a different face of them, you know. But when they're working, they're all about the work. If they know that you're talking about the work, they just go, great, we're here to work.
Yep.
And that's when it's a light bulb went, wow.
Yeah.
That's why they're here.
And so you continued, going to acting classes and, that must have been amazing.
Stella
with the people.
Adler was brilliant and ruthless.
Mm.
It took me about 6 months to get to, I tell people this story because I'd get on stage and she'd go, get off my stage. Why? Wrong shirt. I go, are you kidding me? The character, she was never abusive. She would say, get off my stage. You're wrong. And here's why. But then she'd tell you why.
Uh-huh.
He wouldn't wear that jacket. He wouldn't wear that ring. He wouldn't wear that thing. So then you'd get it right. Mm-hmm. There was no internet back then. You had to go find an old Russian guy and say, hey, have the dress in Russia, you know?
Yeah.
And he'd say this, he'd say that. And then you'd get it right. And then you'd get on stage. And then you get to the middle of stage. I remember this happened. And she goes, get off my stage. I'm like, what now? And she said, because the character wouldn't get excited when he got to the middle of the stage.
Oh,
you did. And I went, yeah, because I finally got there. She made you read literally a play a day.
Right. And so was it method acting? Is that?
It's method acting covers many, many different things. The basic way I can explain it to people, Lee and Stella had a big argument saying, I'm right, you're wrong. The basic difference is this. Let's assume you had to do a scene where you're cold. Nothing to do with grandma and grandpa. Lee would say, when do you remember being cold? And you go, well, you know, the day I was locked in my fridge. You know, great. So then you start to feel the cold. Where exactly do you feel it? I feel cold here. I feel cold there. Stella would say, forget that shit. Act. Act cold. How do you act cold? You shiver. You pat your body. But then what people don't realize is the second step is the same from both of them. Because then Stella would go, where specifically do you now feel the cold?
Yep.
And you go, gotcha.
Yep.
And Peter, just to clarify for our readers, the listeners, the Lee you're talking about is Lee Strasberg.
Lee Strasberg, yes. Okay. I call him. I've never met him.
That's okay.
He died long before I got there, but Anna Strasberg took over the school.
Uh-huh.
And she called him Lee.
Yeah.
So after you pay a fortune at acting classes at Anna, she shows you the Lee Strasberg tapes.
Yeah.
And it was big cassettes and it was a big privilege. And you go, okay, great. All right. Basically, here's what happened. After Lee died, Anna took over the school. And a lot of people didn't like her. She was ruthless and she was a businesswoman. And one day, rightfully so, she goes, Peter, I know you don't like me, but if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't find the place here.
Mm-hmm.
Lee would have closed it. I said, you're right.
Mm.
That's when I said, she's right. She built the school. It's a business. At the same time, there's a lot of creative energy there. You know what I'm saying? Stella, after she died, God knows who took over. There was a big civil war, right? Her daughter didn't take over. The kids didn't take over. There was two great teachers there. That's when I left, you know. But Stella herself was amazing to watch, right? Lee, I call him Lee because we heard him. Lee said this, Lee said that, Lee said this. You know, now it's taken over by the son.
So all of a sudden you come back to Australia and you open, because it was called the Actors Lab over there, and you call it, you're now calling it the Melbourne Actors.
I called them the Melbourne Actors Lab. And what happened is I told my wife, I said, outside teaching acting, I'm a completely dysfunctional human being. And I said, well, I don't want to run a school. I'm not business-minded. So what we did is we rented a place right here on Inkerman Street. And all the old labbies, they call it the great years. Yeah, because 60 people would turn up, five would be paying, right? You know, and we'd sit there till 5 o'clock in the morning. We weren't making any money, but the work was brilliant.
Yep.
So then you start to balance the two, which we're still getting there, right? And then what happened is the work ethic, but is what, like I've said, I think I've told you this, for a very small school, we've earned one Logie nomination and two ACTA nominations. That's pretty good considering we compete with the big guys, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And now we're at the Alex, because Alex came by and saw us in a play in Brunswick. Right,
and the Alex being the Alex Theatre on Fitzroy Street.
After that, we moved to Brunswick, another warehouse, no air conditioning, no heating. I mean, it was horrible, but people loved it. And then Alex from the Alex Theatre came and said, hey, why aren't you guys in a bigger space? Because we were doing plays there.
Mm.
Nothing legal, by the way. There was, you know, if we had 50 seats and 70 people turned up, we just stuck seats on the side. You know, there was no, hey, government, fire, escapes, nothing. We just said, whoever turns up, right? All right. And I said, we've got no money. We can't afford a theater. So he said, come to my space. And we came here, we did some plays, and then COVID happened. And now we're restructuring, but the work is the work. If there's one person in the class, I'm okay with it. We're still going to work. If there's 10 people in the class, I'm okay with it. We're still going to work, you know? And I do teach a blend of Lee and Stella and whatever, you know, whatever. It's hard because everyone's different. And you go, okay, this one doesn't need that much. That one needs that.
Yep.
Try it. But it's long-term growth.
Right. And how often are you teaching?
I teach Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night, 7 to 11.
Right.
Or 7 till midnight or 7 to 2 o'clock in the morning. And Tuesday and Saturday, 6 classes a week is what I used to do. I dropped the Monday one.
Right.
And the Monday one was... What happened is when I first got here, some famous, I won't say who it is, famous Australian actor said, I want to come study with you, but I don't want everyone to know. So I said, well, I've only got Monday night off, so I'll open Monday night class. We called it the advanced class.
Okay.
And then people that were there for 10 years, and some of them were there, they're the ones that used to come Monday nights.
Mm. Right.
But then he never turned up anyway. So we just kept it like a closed-in group.
Yeah.
And then because of COVID, I went online, so we cancelled that. But I teach like roughly 6 classes a week.
And Peter, if people are interested, and you often have a lot of experienced actors because you know, like you need to keep on learning a craft because you can only keep on learning. How do they get in contact with you?
The best thing is to go on the website that we have. God knows who built it. We have a lot of volunteers. And Nick, there's a guy up in Sydney, wonderful guy. Go on online. Go on Facebook. Find us, Melbourne Actors Lab. And it's actually my phone number.
Right.
Text me. People go, is this Peter? Yes. I want to talk to Peter. Right. It's me. I'm talking.
Okay. So just it's Melbourne Actors Lab. Yeah. And either Facebook or a website.
And it's melbourneactorslab.com or Melbourne Actors Lab, the Facebook page.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
That's what we use a lot of.
Now, just quickly as well, you know, like you've got all the acting stuff that you're doing, but you've decided to write some films as well.
I was always writing even back then. And what happened is because of COVID, we said, let's not do any more theater. So I started writing. I had some short films I was writing, and then I'm writing some features. And then we thought, let's not waste our time with shorts. We're past shorts now. Let's do some features. And we've got a few people with actual funding. It's a matter of finding the right one.
Yep.
Also, we find
the right script, you mean?
The right person with the right money.
Right.
And also, they have to understand the project. It's not enough. Yeah. Well, here's a bunch of money.
Well, that's the hard thing with film because it costs so much money, doesn't it?
And also, being in Melbourne, it's hard to find the right people with money that want to part with it into a film. And you're talking about, you know, a lot of money, several hundred thousand, if not several million. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So you have to sit down and go, listen, it's actually a business.
Yep.
If you break even, great. aim to break even.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then some of them listen, some of them ask the right question, some of them ask the wrong question. And at this stage of the life, it's about finding the right one, which we found a few. We say, let's make this one, then we'll move on to this one, then we'll move on to that one.
Okay. So if there's anyone out there that would be interested in investing in film, get in contact with you through the
same Melbourne, number.
Same number. Right. And good on you, Peter, for following this dream and, you know, like, and following it through with the acting, but also the film thing, because you've mentioned to me before that film is, you can take a show on the road, but film is easier to watch, isn't it? But it's the same actors.
And also with film, if I'm doing a play next Tuesday and you can't turn up, that it's gone.
Yep.
But with film, and by the way, it's important to say this really quickly, because I can talk forever, you know that, right?
Yes.
We need more producers here in Melbourne.
Yep.
That actually fork out money, because the government thing is really tough to deal with, the government grants and so on. But they've got to also, you've got to respect the money so they get a return on their money.
Yep.
You can't just do what you like and be irresponsible. Mm. So if we start seeing people fork out some money and even break even, you know, they're going to go, hey, you made a film.
Mm.
You made a film that's needed.
Mm.
And it's got to be a film about Melbourne stories, not American stories. Mm. I want to see that peppercorn tree. I want to see Fitzroy Street. I want to see the bridge. I want to see the river.
Mm.
The world doesn't know our city.
Mm.
It doesn't. We know New York, we know LA, we know London.
And this is a great city.
It's a brilliant city.
It's a great city.
If it wasn't, I wouldn't be back here. I would have stayed over there, you know. So we need that to show that in our films.
Right. Well, and also, if you want to get to know Peter a little bit more, the Art Hunter has done a interview with him, so it's on YouTube. So you can go to the arthunter.tv, and his YouTube interview is there with me. So check it out, people. And thank you for coming in, Peter.
Thank you very much for having me.
Pleasure.
Thanks so much. We've been talking to Peter Carlos here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.